السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and our sisters of the madrasa, our respected and honored guest Shaykh Riyaz ul-Haq sahab, at the age of 10 he completed his memorization of the Quran Sharif. His father was an imam in England in those days, and he was very fortunate to have such a pious, righteous, learned father. And the tarbiyah that he gave to him at a very early age started him off with the acquisition of Islamic knowledge. And he, after completing his hifz, at the age of 13, he took admission to a Darul Uloom, which was the first one to be established in UK or in England. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab, Damat Barakatum, Khalifa Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was encouraged by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali to establish this Darul Uloom in Bury in England. Alhamdulillah, that Darul Uloom produced some brilliant scholars. We have had the opportunity of listening to some of them here in South Africa. And one of them is our respected guest. He's a brilliant scholar, he's a very eloquent speaker, and those who have had the opportunity of listening to his tapes or listening to him directly, they will bear testimony to the fact that his talks are very, very inspirational, because it is not only just the learning, but it is also the tarbiyah and the tazkiyah which he has undergone at the hands of those great mashayikh. At present he is a principal at Madinatul Uloom, and for many, many years he has been touring the world. His intensive knowledge or extensive knowledge of Quran, of Hadith and of other subjects, alhamdulillah, many people around the world have been benefiting because of his trips to the Middle East, America and South Africa and other parts of the world. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of listening to him carefully and making amal on whatever nasihat he has to give to us. But before that, Hafiz Nabil Kadwa completed the Quran Sharif under Hafiz Yusuf Desai in Palok. So he will first complete the Quran Sharif, and thereafter we'll have the bayan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عسوا وكانوا يعتدون كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون ترى كثيرا منهم يتولون الذين كفروا لبئس ما قدمت لهم أنفسهم أن سخط الله عليهم وفي العذاب هم خالدون ولو كانوا يؤمنون بالله والنبي وما أنزل إليهم اتخذوهم أولياء ولكن كثيرا منهم فاسقون لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا ولتجدن أقربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأن يستكبرون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم اللهم آنس وحشتي في قبري اللهم ارحمني بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لي إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرني منه ما نسيت وعلمني منه ما جهلت وارزقني تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لي حجة يا رب العالمين
It's a living miracle, the Quran Sharif. And little children memorizing the entire Quran Sharif and many of them don't even know Arabic language. Which other book can you get? That you can by heart and memorize without knowing the language.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد honored ulama, respected elders, brothers and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we've just participated in a khatm, a completion of memorization of the Holy Quran. A Muslim in this day and age is often confronted with conflicting scenes of hope and despair. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited the Prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam on the miraculous occasion of Mi'raj in the heavens, he passed by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on the first heaven. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam would look to one side and he would smile in joy. And then Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam would look to the other side and he would weep. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam regarding all the prophets, and he was told that this was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel that why is he crying on occasions and laughing in joy on occasions? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that on the one hand, when he turns around and he sees those of his children in mankind who will go to Jannah, he smiles in joy. But then when he turns to the other side and he sees those of his children amongst mankind who will go to Jahannam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam weeps. Now, I remember this hadith because, as I said a moment earlier, in this day and age of fitna, as we move closer to Qiyamah, when a Muslim sees and experiences different things in the Ummah, conflicting incidents and scenes of hope and despair, one doesn't know. And at times one weeps with joy, and at times one weeps with fear and despair. Alhamdulillah, on the one hand, we have young children who even in predominantly non-Muslim countries are memorizing the Holy Quran. And the miracle of the Quran is still alive. And on the other hand, we see the fitna and the facade all across the globe, including in Muslim communities, in Muslim countries, and in Muslim lives. So on the one hand, we see the forces of shaitan so hard at work and to a great degree succeeding. And on the other hand, we see some glimmer of hope. But the truth is, as long as the Qur'an is amongst us, there is khair in the ummah. And there is hope, inshaAllah. And it is not permissible for a Muslim to despair. And truth will prevail. We are going through testing times. And the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasallatu wasalam have all gone through testing times. But it is a belief of every believer that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in so many ways said in the Holy Qur'an, and in one beautiful verse Allah says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has written and decreed, saying that I will most assuredly prevail and triumph, and my messengers. Verily Allah is almighty, Allah is strong. So there are conflicting scenes of despair and of hope, of good and of corruption. But inshaAllah, we are optimistic and we have hope in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know for a fact that as long as the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. the Holy Quran, is in the ummah, there is khayr in the ummah, inshaAllah. As Mawlana Yunus was just saying a moment ago, that here we have a child who doesn't understand Arabic. Although he can read the text, he can't decipher it, he can't understand its meaning. And yet, he has just completed the memorization of the Holy Quran. And he is just one, not of a few hundred or a thousand, millions all over the world, who are constantly engaged in this process of memorizing the Holy Quran. That in itself is a miracle. Can we compare it to any other book, any other scripture, any other text? Children, not only children, but adults. Adults who know the language which they are speaking, who know the meaning of the language that they are conversing in. Even they, despite being so proficient and fluent in any chosen language, they will find it extremely difficult to memorize just a few lines of that language and retain it. Be it a poem, a limerick, a lyric of a song, it doesn't matter. Any form, it is a nigh impossible, an almost impossible task for any adult to memorize more than a few paragraphs and to retain it. Even songwriters, singers, artists, poets, those who write their own verses and their own lines, they don't remember them. Those who write their own rhythmic lines of poetry do not remember them. And if they memorize their own lines, they cannot remember them. And yet here we have children all over the world, in China, in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, in the Indian subcontinent, in the former Russian states, in Africa, in Europe, in America, across the globe. Children who do not even know what one letter of this Arabic language means, yet Allahu Akbar, they are able to memorize the entire Quran with such ease as though they are drinking water. And they are able to absorb it, memorize it, and retain it. And then whenever they choose and Allah wills, they are able to recite the entire Qur'an from beginning to end. That in itself is a living miracle of the supremacy of the Holy Qur'an, of its beauty and of its authentic nature. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. Allah says of the Holy Qur'an, no falsehood can come unto the Qur'an either from in front or from behind. This is a revelation from an almighty, wise, and a being full of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the nature of the Holy Qur'an. And as long as this Qur'an isn't amongst us, there is khayr in the ummah. But on a few conditions. And one of those conditions is that we revere the Qur'an, we fulfill the rights of the Qur'an, and we do not abandon the Qur'an. We do not become one of those regarding whom it will be said on the Day of Judgment that these people threw the Book of Allah behind their backs, abandoned it and discarded it. The Qur'an has a right over us. And some of those rights are, one, it should be recited. Two, it should be understood. And three, it should be acted upon. And if any ummati, individually, and if the ummah collectively as a whole, fulfills these three responsibilities of recitation, of understanding and study, and number three, of applying its teachings in their individual as well as collective lives, inshaAllah, the Qur'an will prevail, the Qur'an will prove to be the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared it to be. The Qur'an is extremely powerful. We do not know the power of the Holy Qur'an, because we have a weapon in our hands. We have a weapon in our possession. We are just not applying it. The Holy Qur'an is miraculous, and it's so powerful that the Qur'an can bring angels from the heavens to the earth. The Qur'an can cure. The Quran is a miraculous cure of all ills. The tilawah can bring about miracles in itself. The understanding of the Quran can bring about miracles. And applying the teachings of the Quran in our lives can bring about miracles. It is a cure for every illness that we know, both physical as well as social. And political. Any worldly illness, any physical illness, the Quran has a cure for it, the Quran itself is a cure for it. But we have to have that yaqeen. Like I said, the Quran is extremely powerful, it's miraculous. Many ahadith related by most authors of hadith, including Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and the others, they all narrate a very famous story of a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala who was reciting Surah Al-Kahf. This sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, well, the story in as a summary is as follows. He was reciting Surah Al-Kahf at night with the Quran in front of him. He had a baby child and the baby was sleeping close by. And he had his horse which was also tied close by. This sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reciting the Qur'an. In many of the ahadith, it's just mentioned in general that he was reciting the Qur'an. In various ahadith, it's mentioned specifically that he was reciting Surah Al-Kahf. As he was reciting, all of a sudden his horse began jumping about, prancing and dancing about. The sahabi radiallahu anhu feared for the safety of his child. So straight away he stopped reciting and turned his attention to the child and the horse. The moment he stopped his recitation, the horse stopped prancing about and it calmed down. So the sahabi radiallahu anhu resumed his tilawah. As soon as he began reciting again, the horse began jumping and prancing about. Again, fearing for the safety of his child, he paused, turned his attention to the horse and the child, and as soon as he stopped his tilawah, the horse stopped prancing and jumping about. When he felt safe, he resumed his tilawah for a third time. Again, as soon as he began reciting the Qur'an, the horse began jumping and prancing about. Fearing for the safety of his child, he again stopped reciting and turned to the child. The horse stopped again and calmed down and settled down. Then the sahabi radiallahu anhu looked up towards the sky and he saw lights scattered across the sky like lamps that were coming down slowly and descending from the sky. Allahu Akbar. As soon as morning broke, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he narrated the whole story to him. This story, as this hadith, as quoted by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, has a slight variation at this point, which is that when he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he began relating the story and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I began reciting and the horse began jumping up and down and I turned my attention to the child. As soon as I stopped my tilawah, the horse stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, carry on reciting. Almost as though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. He said, carry on reciting. So then the sahabi radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, I then resumed my tilawah. And the horse began jumping about again. So then I stopped, and as soon as I stopped, the horse stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, carry on reciting. So on every occasion that the sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I stopped, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him himself that carry on reciting. When he had finished his story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that the lights that you saw scattered in the sky, like lamps that were slowly descending from the heavens, these were the angels of Allah that had come down from the heavens to listen to your tilawah of the Holy Quran. And the horse that was prancing and jumping about, it was dancing about in joy at seeing the angels of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, had you continued reciting till morning, till Fajr, the angels would have descended upon the streets and they would have met you and shaken hands with you on the streets of Medina. And this is a sahih hadith related by virtually all the authors of hadith. That is the power of the Holy Quran. He affects the animals. It even affects the animals. And as Allah said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if we had revealed this holy Quran upon the mountain, upon a mountain, you would have seen the mountain submit itself in humility before Allah, and you would have also seen the mountain shatter and fragment into many pieces out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the power of the Holy Quran. It has an effect on inanimate objects. It has an effect on apparently lifeless objects. The Holy Quran can shatter an entire mountain. The Holy Quran can affect animals, horses and cattle. The Holy Quran on earth draws the angels from the heavens to the earth. Yet this jahil insan, he has the Quran in his possession, but he doesn't use it. That's why Allah says, إِنْهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Man is extremely sinful, unjust, and man is extremely ignorant. We don't know what we have in our possession. This is the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every miracle of every Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, be it the magic staff of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, be it the miraculous cure of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, no miracle of any Prophet of Allah can match the one single miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Holy Quran. That's the power of the Holy Quran, just the tilawah. And with regards to Surah Al-Kahf, in many ahadith we learn, Surah Al-Kahf in itself is a very powerful surah. Just to mention some of the fadail, I mention this because, astaghfirullah, some people now even call the tilawah of Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah a bid'ah. They call the tilawah of Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah a bid'ah. From a collection of ahadith we learn that whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to one hadith, will create a nur, a light for him that stretches from himself all the way to the Kaaba of Allah for the next 7 or 10 days. And in another hadith, Allah will create a nur, a light for him that stretches from him all the way up to the heavens. And in many ahadith we learn that whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith of Bukhari as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. Sorry, not the hadith, but this is about Jumu'ah itself, not about Surah Al-Kahf. But we learn from other ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, for the next 7 or 10 days, protect him from every fitna that may appear on earth, even the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. That's the power of the Holy Quran. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala an, on his deathbed, he was asked, he had daughters, he was asked, do you not fear for your daughters? And one of the governors or the rich individuals offered to pay for their upkeep after Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala an had left the dunya. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala an said, how can I fear poverty for my children when I have instructed them to recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah every single day? For I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from poverty. The Quran is a cure for everything. It's tilawah. Allah azza wa jalla says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And verily we reveal of the Holy Quran that which is a cure and which is a mercy for all the worlds, for the believers. And the Quran does not add but to the confusion and to the loss of the sinful. For certain people, i.e. the believers, in their sincerity, the Qur'an is a cure and a mercy for everything. Those who are ill, you do not need to look any further than the Holy Qur'an. If you have yaqeen, Allahu Akbar, the Qur'an will cure every ill. I have read that Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, rahmatullahi alayhi, he on many occasions, maybe not always, but on many occasions, when someone would ask him for a cure for certain illnesses, Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi alayhi, would often just give them the prescription of Ayatul Kursi. Us, no more. Just Ayatul Kursi. And say, in this one verse alone is all the power and cure that you need. But it has to be done with yaqeen, with conviction, with faith and with sincerity. The Qur'an is extremely powerful in its tilawah. And we don't have much time, but like I said, I'll briefly comment on all three aspects. One, the tilawah of the Qur'an. Number two, understanding the Qur'an and studying the Qur'an. And number three, applying the Qur'an's teachings in our lives. With regards to tilawah, alhamdulillah, I believe in this country at least, which is blessed with many huffaz and ulama and madaris, things are slightly different in Europe and in America especially. There is a great tendency to neglect the Qur'an. And I'm sure it's the case here also, even though it's slightly better here, the situation, than other countries. But there is a great tendency to neglect the Holy Qur'an. So much so that people even question the practice of tilawah. We now have modernists who say that it is stupidity, and it is rewardless, and it is a futile act to recite the Qur'an in a parrot fashion in Arabic. To recite the Qur'an in a parrot fashion in Arabic without understanding it. These people deny the thawab and the reward of the tilawah of the Qur'an in total, in its entirety. And they say that you only get a reward if you read the Qur'an in its translation. And these people, this is what they do. They don't believe in the Arabic tilawah of the Qur'an at all. They are so obsessed with English, so overawed by English, that English has become a holy language for them. They've abandoned Arabic, and now, astaghfirullah, in many European countries, the governments are hoping to and intending to embark on a reform program for the Muslims. And part of this reform program is that, and in Holland, I believe, they are actively trying to pass legislation. In Holland and in Denmark, they are actively trying to pass legislation in Parliament to ban Arabic tilawah and recitation in the masajid, because they say, we don't know what these people are reciting. Therefore, if that bill is passed, Allah forbid, ma'ad Allah, the imams and the ulama will be forced to recite the Qur'an in salah and adhan and ibadah, everything in the local language. Now, we can expect non-Muslims to do that, but when we have Muslims, enlightened Muslims, who say that there is no virtue, there is no reward in reciting the Arabic of the Qur'an, and all the reward is only if you understand, and some people say that, as one individual said, he said that he would refuse to pray Taraweeh Salah in the masjid, he'd pray at home. Fine, that's permissible. If you don't have to pray Salat al-Taraweeh with Jama'ah, that's a masala. But his reasoning was as follows. He would say that I get more reward than that whole congregation. I pray at home, and praying my salah at home, I get more reward than the whole congregation in the masjid. The reason is because the imam and everybody behind him just recites the Qur'an and listens to his recitation in parrot fashion in Arabic. Not one of them understand what's being said. I only read the last 10 surahs of the Qur'an, but with translation and meaning in my salah, therefore I get more reward. The tilawah of the Qur'an is rewarding in itself regardless of whether a person understands or not. In a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi in Sunan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من قرأ حرفا من الكتاب فله به حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that whoever recites one letter of the Holy Quran, one letter, not one word, one letter, then he will, in lieu of that one letter, receive one reward, and each reward is multiplied 10 times with Allah. And then he said, I do not say that alif, lam, meem is one letter. No, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, and meem is one letter. Now, if we look at the words of the hadith, subhanAllah, the ulama of Islam all agree the Alif Lam Mim and other combinations of letters in the beginning of the surahs of the Holy Quran, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our true meaning. Alif Lam Mim, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim Ra. Only Allah knows the true meaning of these words. And therefore, no one really knows the true meaning of Alif Lam Mim. To all intents and purposes, as far as we can see, this is just one word made up of three letters. Alif Lam Mim. We don't understand its meaning. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose this word in particular to demonstrate that for reciting Alif Lam Mim, you will get not three but 30 rewards, even though nobody understands the meaning. So tilawah is with understanding or without understanding, a person receives a reward. And in a hadith related by Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and recorded in Bukhari and Muslim and other books, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَأُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. This is a reward of Allah and His mercy for those who recite His holy book. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he who recites the holy Qur'an in an expert fashion, then his rank is with those honored, pure, pious ambassador angels of the heavens who look after and preserve the Holy Qur'an in the heavens. And if I can just explain this hadith, because it's connected to the khatam of the Holy Qur'an. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever recites the Qur'an in an expert fashion. Now who would be able to recite the Qur'an in an expert fashion? Someone who knows the words of the Qur'an, has mastered the tajweed of the Qur'an, and is able to recite the Qur'an in a beautiful melody of his voice, fulfilling all of its rules and ahkam of tilawa, of recitation, etc. And someone who understands it. And even if he doesn't understand it, at least he can recite it in an expert fashion. For someone like a hafidh of the Holy Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says his rank is with whom? As-safaratil kiramil barara, the ambassador, honored, pious angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now who are the as-safara al-kiramil barara? They are those angels who have been tasked by Allah with the responsibility of preserving the Holy Qur'an in the heavens. And the ulama explained that the meaning is, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the angels to preserve the Holy Qur'an in the heavens, this individual, whoever he may be, by reciting the Qur'an in an expert fashion, he fulfills the responsibility of the angels in the heavens on earth. And just as Allah has, just as those angels preserve the Qur'an in the heavens, he is helping preserve the Qur'an of Allah upon the earth. And therefore his rank is with these angels. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَأُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. And he who recites the Qur'an, وَيَتَتَعْتَأُ فِيهِ, and he stutters and stumbles in the tilawah of the Qur'an. He stutters and stumbles in the tilawah of the Qur'an. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ. And this tilawah is extremely difficult and burdensome for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he doesn't get half a reward. He gets a double reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A double reward. One for the act of trying and his effort, and one for the tilawah. That's how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We pray that Allah azza wa jal gives us the tawfiq to appreciate the beauty of the Qur'an and to recite it as much as possible in its original Arabic. We may not be able to understand and appreciate its beauty. But the Qur'an was revealed in Arabic for a particular reason. Allah azza wa jal says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Verily we have revealed the Qur'an as an Arabic Qur'an, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, in the hope that you may understand. In another verse of the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَعَرَبِيٌّ قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. Allah says, أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَعَرَبِيٌّ, that is there any comparison between a non-Arabic language and the Arabic Qur'an? There is no comparison. Say, O Prophet of Allah, that this Qur'an is for the believers' guidance and a cure. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to recite the Qur'an as much as possible. And if we look at the example of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, it is related that Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, he would recite the entire Qur'an in one rak'ah. One rak'ah, the entire Qur'an. And you know, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he would recite the entire Qur'an in the month of Ramadan 60 times. He would complete 60 recitations of the Holy Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. Once during the day, once during the night. Over 30 days would complete 60. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi would also complete 60 tilawat, 60 recitations of the Holy Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. And normally every day Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi would complete 40. One whole Qur'an during the day and one third of the Qur'an during the night. By the end of the month Imam Bukhari would complete 40. And that was with his study of hadith and his teaching of hadith, his travels and his recording of hadith. Allahu Akbar. So the ulama of the past, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, this was a love and attachment to the Holy Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. The Qur'an brought miracles in their lives. The Qur'an rewarded them. And they were devoted and attached to the Holy Qur'an. Today, sadly, you know, if you mention this to people, they're saying, oh, one person completed 60 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. One person completed 40 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. One person completed one Qur'an in one night, one day. Oh, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu complete the whole Qur'an in one rak'ah. They'll, astaghfirullah. I just quote what people say. They say bakwas. They say, how is it possible? How is it possible? Calculate by time, how is it possible? See, it's very sad. You know, it depends on what you attach to and who and what you're inclined to. As I was explaining a few days ago in another speech somewhere else, that it depends on where your love lies, where your loyalties lie. You know, the people of the dunya, Muslims, born Muslims with Muslim names, and possibly some of them even practicing. And if you tell them that people in nightclubs, they dance from 10 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning for 8 hours non-stop, drinking only water. And as you know, dancing is a rigorous exercise. It's not easy. A person puts every limb of his body into motion and into movement. And that's exercise. The heart beats faster, the blood circulates faster. The whole body goes into overdrive. And there's a strain on every joint of the body. Every bone of the body, there's a strain on it. And dancing is a form of exercise in itself. That's why some Muslims, they dance. Wallahi, I sit in the masjid. They dance to music. And when someone says, astaghfirullah, what are you doing? They say, I'm only exercising. This is exercise. I'm exercising. So, dancing is a form of exercise. Now, how long can a person dance? How long? How long can you exercise for? Even these Olympic athletes cannot run, cannot engage in their chosen, selected, expert form of sport for more than a short duration. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, no more, 20 minutes. And that's after years of training. How these unfit people who survive on chips and fatty food from McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, how they, despite all the lack of health and restricted lungs because of the smoking, how they can manage to dance continuously from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning without any energy, any other external form of energy, and only just water and a few tablets. How they can manage that. But people believe, you tell them, they do it. People say, oh, karte, they do it. It's a fact, they do it. We believe everything that kufr teaches us. We believe everything. 8 hours, they can dance. Why? Do you believe that? Yes, of course I believe it. What's scientifically wrong with dancing for 8 hours? If you think about it, it seems almost impossible. As I was explaining the other day, this is because of the love that these people have for shaitan and the forces of shaitan. Their love of music, their love of their pop stars and idols blinds them to fatigue, blinds them to sleeplessness, blinds them to insomnia, blinds them to everything else. It blinds them to food and drink. And all they see, and they live in a world of their own. For 8 hours they can dance in the love of shaitan and in the love of their pop stars and idols. If we can believe that about the fusaq and the fujjar, why can't we believe that they are those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who draw their source of energy from Allah? Who in their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remain standing for 8 hours on end. No problem at all. Those who can, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who could stand all night in one rak'ah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala would complete one whole Qur'an in one rak'ah. They could do it. It depends on where our love lies. If we have any attachment to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would believe it. Instead, we believe all the rubbish that's spewed forth from every other direction, but we deny everything about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll move on quickly to the next point for a few minutes, which is about understanding the Qur'an. Unfortunately, there are many of us who do read the Qur'an, but we make no effort to understand the Qur'an. Remember, the Qur'an has every right on us. It has a right of tilawah, and it also has a right of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. What? Do they not study the Qur'an? Or are there seals and locks on their hearts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who don't study the Qur'an, don't try to understand its meaning and its message, it is as though they have locks and seals in their hearts. To understand the Qur'an is important. It's extremely important. It is equally important, as important if not more than the tilawah of the Qur'an. Because that's the only way we will understand what the message is of Allah azza wa jalla. And unfortunately, I must say that we in our community are very lacking in this. Whilst, like I said earlier, we recognize the fact that alhamdulillah, many Muslims in our community, especially in this country and other parts of the world, where there is some religious activity and there is a religious atmosphere, although there is appreciation of the tilawah of the Qur'an, there is a real lack of understanding of the Holy Qur'an. You know, we can stand in Taraweeh for 1.5 hours. And listen to the tilawah of the entire Qur'an even though we don't know what's being recited. But if there is a dars of Qur'an after the Taraweeh, the masjid is empty. Subhanallah. If you can stand for 1.5 hours in Taraweeh, despite your age and despite the day of fatigue and fasting, then can't you just sit after the Taraweeh salah on the floor? If need be, if you are old, weak and frail, then even lean on the pillow. It doesn't matter. But can't you devote 10, 15, 20 minutes, even under the half an hour, sitting comfortably, having stood for 1.5 hours listening to something that you don't understand, why don't you sit comfortably for half an hour afterwards to a great degree understand what was being recited and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying. But there's a real lack of understanding. And I must say that in some parts of the world, you know, unscrupulous scholars, you can't call them scholars because unscrupulous and scholar are a contradiction in terms. But unscrupulous leaders and teachers, or those who are responsible enough to be imams and ulama, they want to keep their awam and they want to keep their congregations ignorant. As a result, they're saying, read the Qur'an. Don't ask what's being read. Don't ask what the Qur'an says. Just listen to us and we'll tell you. And they selectively drip feed. They selectively drip feed their congregations and their followers information that suits and benefits them. Otherwise, it is the individual duty of every Muslim to understand the Holy Qur'an. Now, before anyone misunderstands me, I would be the last person to encourage a random, irresponsible study of the Qur'an, unqualified study of the Qur'an now. I would be the last person. I'm the first one to say, having studied under the orthodox and traditional ulama of Islam, I would be the first one to say that it is haram for an individual to opine on the Qur'an, to offer his opinion on the Qur'an, or try to understand the Qur'an of his own understanding and opinion, of course. But we have to remember that there are categories to the Holy Qur'an. There are those verses of the Holy Qur'an that deal with ahkam and laws. No person without the qualifications, without the sufficient expertise, and without the authority, should delve into these verses. Then there are those verses which are common understanding for everybody. Verses that deal with morality, verses that deal with simple everyday laws of life, verses that deal with mannerisms, akhlaq, verses that deal with Jannah and Jahannam, verses that deal with the Akhirah, verses that deal with the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam of the past. Surely you can read them and understand what they are saying. And for a better understanding, let's refer to the ulama, sit in the durus of the Qur'an. Sit in the durus of the Qur'an. And even if you are studying a tafsir of one of the respected and reputable and authentic ulama, if you are studying the written tafsir, still again, time and time, refer to your ulama and your imams for guidance and to ensure that you are not gaining an incorrect understanding of what's written, even in the tafsir. But an effort has to be made to understand the Qur'an. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do they not ponder over the verses of the Qur'an? What are their seals and locks on their hearts? Sadly, many of us don't know what the Qur'an tells us. We don't know what the Qur'an tells us. And if people studied the Qur'an, subhanAllah, if individuals just studied Surah Al-Hujarat, look at Surah Al-Hujarat. If people just studied Surah Al-Hujarat, akhlaq, adab, the rank of every human being, how to deal with one another, how to treat one another, how to view one another, not to backbite, not to be suspicious, not to mock one another. These are simple verses of Surah Al-Hujarat. If people read and apply the verses and the teachings of Surah Al-Hujarat, there'd be much more peace and harmony in the Muslim Ummah. So we have a responsibility to study the Holy Qur'an in a responsible manner. That is also another right. Not just tilawah. Tilawah is important. Equally important, if not more, is the understanding of the Qur'an. And finally, the application of the Holy Qur'an. We have to apply the Qur'an in our lives. Even those who are hafiz of the Qur'an, remember, merely being a hafiz, is no guarantee to success. Because although it's commonly believed that someone who becomes a hafiz, mashallah, he will go to Jannah and he'll take 70 people of his family into Jannah. It's true, but with conditions. You know, the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam relates, this hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi in his sunan, and by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his musnad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Man qara'a al-Qur'ana wastadhara, fa'ahalla halalahu wa harrama harama, adkhalahu Allahu al-Jannah. وشفعه في عشرة من بيته كلهم وجبت لهم النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم." Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever recites the Quran and then memorizes it, and then فأحل حلاله وحرم حرامه, he recognizes and applies its halal as halal and its haram as haram. Whatever the Quran declares to be halal and obligatory upon him, he accepts as halal and he accepts as obligatory. And whatever the Quran has declared to be haram, he recognizes it and applies it in his life as haram and he abstains from it. That's the condition. Not just becoming hafiz of the Quran. One who recites the Quran and memorizes it. And then he makes it halal, halal, and he makes it haram, haram. That's a condition. Amal. Acting upon the Qur'an, for everybody, ulama, non-ulama, huffaz, non-huffaz, every individual of the ummah, tilawah is not sufficient. You have to act on the Qur'an in its entirety, not selectively, in its entirety. Not just namaz, roza, hajj, zakat. And alhamdulillah, you're a haji and a pious jannati. Just because you pray namaz, salah, you give zakat, and you observe the fast of Ramadan. That's a common attitude amongst our people. We've got this very unique, carved out image of Islam, a special DIY job, DIY Islam, customized Islam, namaz, roza, hajj, umrah, zakat. MashaAllah, as long as you do this, alhamdulillah, you are jannati, you are pious, tu haji, meh haji, tu haji. And then, as long as you pray your salah, and you give your zakat, that's it. Then you can, how you earn doesn't matter. You can take interest, pay interest. You can cheat another Muslim, you can lie to him. You can defraud another Muslim. You can backbite, you can slander, you can falsely accuse. You don't kill anybody, but you can kill their character and assassinate them. You don't murder. Oof, murder is a crime. But you assassinate their character. You kill them and assassinate their character by robbing them of their dignity, by lying about them, by falsely accusing them. Yeah. Allah has declared both to be haram. Allah has declared backbiting to be haram. Allah has declared murder to be haram. Allah has declared the drinking of blood to be haram. Allah has declared pork to be haram. Allah has declared the flesh of the Muslim to be haram. Why is it? that we abstain from pork in such a way that we won't even mention the word pig. As I said on so many occasions, if somebody wants to mention the word pig, he says, whoa, you know what I'm talking about. Whoa. For 5-10 minutes is prevaricating, circumventing, round. And in the end, when he is finally compelled to, he says, P-I-G. He doesn't mention the word. That's how offensive the name is, even though it's not haram. You're probably saying, pig in the bayan. Not Allah says khinzir in the Quran time and time again. Walahmul khinzir. Allah mentions it openly. So we won't even bring the word khinzir or pig to our lips. That's how holy pious we are. Such sanctimony, such pontification, that's how sanctimonious we are. But when it comes to another Muslim, mashallah, we will dig our teeth into his flesh and eat. That's exactly what Allah describes backbiting. أَيَحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would any one of you wish to devour the flesh of his fellow brother, dead brother? Surely you will resent this. That's exactly what backbiting is. So applying the teachings of the Qur'an in their entirety, not selectively, and that's another topic in itself. I end with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. May Allah allow us to recognize all the rights of the Qur'an, especially these three. There are many rights of the Qur'an. One, the Qur'an has many rights over us. One, tilawah. Two, understanding. And three, the application of its teachings in our individual as well as public lives. If the ummah returns to the Qur'an in this manner, loving it and reciting it, understanding it and applying its teachings, the Qur'an will once again work its miracles in this ummah as it did for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasooli nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahum bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin an-nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. اللهم إنا عبيدك بنو عبيدك بنو إمائك نواصينا بيدك ماض فينا حكمك عدل فينا قضاؤك. نسألك اللهم بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصل اللهم وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.